Coming up this half hour, Christmas stories. Heartwarming stories about pets at Christmas time. And we'll hear a slightly enhanced version of The Night Before Christmas. Let's start with this. From KingsRiverLife.com, a story by Gail Farrelly. It's A Dog's Life, a Christmas Tale, an original short story. Two big eyes peered out from a little face framed by floppy brown and white speckled ears. The little cocker spaniel rested in the grass beneath the bench on which his master, an old man with a cane, was sitting. "Miss," the man said, "would you do me a favor and walk my dog around the lake? I have to rest my old bones today." The woman wanted to say, "No, my 40-year-old bones are pretty weary, too." They had been weary every day for the past year, since September, when her husband had been killed in a terrorist bombing. But then there were those two deep doggy eyes watchfully waiting. Grudgingly, she accepted the leash that was extended to her. The dog leaped up in eager anticipation, as if he'd just been released from prison. He charged ahead with gusto. Soon the dog was taking the woman for a walk rather than vice versa. The woman was puffing by the time they had circled the Bronxville Lake and returned to the starting bench. There was only one problem. No sign of the dog's owner. She searched and searched to no avail. No one in the park remembered the man. She went to the police station and reported the incident. There was no report of a man of his description missing. The police checked hospitals and even the morgue. Still, no sign of the old man. "What am I supposed to do with him?" she asked, pointing an accusing finger at the little dog parked at her feet. "Well, you could bring him to the pound," the policeman said. "Good idea," she answered. The officer continued, "These days the pound is pretty crowded, though." She shrugged, but when she looked down, there were those two soulful eyes peering up at her, and so she said, "I guess I could bring him home for a day or two." A day or two stretched into a week, which soon stretched into a month, then two, then three. The woman and dog often went for brisk walks around the lake, but there was no sign of the old man. The woman's life changed considerably. Having to get up early to walk the dog, she could no longer sleep late. Since she had to feed the dog several times a day, she got back into the habit of eating three meals a day, a habit broken since her husband died. The dog ripped up some of her old clothes, and she had to shop for new ones, the first new clothes she had bought in over a year. She needed them because she had met some new friends, fellow dog walkers, and had begun to socialize again. On Christmas Eve, the dog seemed restless as he and the woman circled the Bronxville Lake. He stopped and stared at each person they passed. Several times he scampered into the woods surrounding the lake, sniffing and darting his eyes around at anything and everything. He appeared to be on a search mission. The woman thought it was strange because the dog's mood seemed to be in sharp contrast to her own. She was feeling so much more peaceful these days. She bent down and patted the little dog, trying to calm him down, and she mumbled, "He never even told me your name." They stopped for a rest at the bench where it had all begun 3 months ago. The dog began barking and sniffing at a small scrap of paper stuck to the bench. The woman picked it up and was startled to read, "His name is Angel." She looked down at the dog, now resting at her feet. He, too, had found peace. She thought about the little old man with the cane who had given her the dog. He was chubby with red cheeks and a long white beard. He had said he was tired, but he didn't look it. In fact, he looked quite hale and hearty. She thought of the movie Miracle on 34th Street. She questioned herself. Am I losing it? She tugged at the dog's leash and said, "Come on, Angel, we're going home." Angel jumped to attention. She was startled to see that his eyes were gazing upward, not at her, but at something way, way above her. She followed his gaze, but saw nothing. As they headed for home, she couldn't help but think that maybe, just maybe, 34th Street didn't have the monopoly on Christmas miracles. There had been at least one in Bronxville. She quickened her pace. Were there more to come? Our next story is from Lisa Braxton of Bridgeport, Connecticut, on pawfriendly.com. A special Christmas. "Where'd the cookies go? They were here a minute ago," my sister Sylvia shouted from the living room. It was Christmas Eve, and she was crouched under the artificial tree, staring at an empty dish resting on the tree skirt. A few crumbs were visible, but otherwise there was little trace of what had been there. Only a short while earlier, our mother had set a dish of crunchy oatmeal raisin cookies under the tree. She had made them for Santa Claus. But someone had gotten to the treats before old Saint Nick had a chance to shimmy down the chimney. It didn't take us long to finger the culprit. Sunshine, my sister's pet Chihuahua Terrier mix, was licking her chops as she came trotting from under the tree. She was dressed for the holidays, sporting a green and red doggy sweater with her name embroidered in cursive across the chest and a metallic red Christmas bow on her collar. Our mother had purchased the sweater for Sunshine by special order. Sunshine, my sister scolded the dog as she scooped her into her arms. I can't believe you ate all those cookies. They'll hurt your tummy. But Sunshine didn't show any remorse. She simply gazed affectionately at my sister and seemed pleased that she discovered the treasure under the tree. Sunshine had that same look of discovery in her eyes a few years earlier on the day that my sister first saw her. Sylvia was a college freshman living by herself in a studio apartment and had just finished classes for the afternoon. As she walked back to her apartment, she noticed a chubby little chocolate and caramel-colored furball sitting on the sidewalk near her front door. "Hi, doggie," my sister said as she leaned down to pet the animal. In response, the dog wagged her tail and craned her neck to brush her head against Sylvia's hand. "You're a real sweetheart," she said to the dog. "I'm sure you have an owner who will be along any time now to find you." Sylvia noticed the dog was wearing a collar, but no tags. "It was nice meeting you, doggie," my sister said as she entered the apartment. That night, a heavy rainstorm swept through the area. The downpour seemed relentless and didn't let up until the next morning. After the weather cleared, Sylvia stepped outside to run some errands. To her surprise, the dog was still sitting there on the sidewalk and had apparently sat there throughout the storm. "I wonder where your master could be," Sylvia said. "I don't want you to stay out here and catch a cold. I'll take you in until someone comes looking for you." The dog had a warm, dreamy look in her eyes, and my sister fell instantly in love with her. Sylvia knew the dog would brighten up her life, so she called her Sunshine. Days passed, but no one ever did come looking for the little dog, even after Sylvia distributed flyers in the neighborhood. In the meantime, Sylvia began to notice that Sunshine had some health problems. Sunshine had a wheezing condition. My sister initially thought it was the lingering effects of that night outside during the storm. But when Sunshine got excited, at feeding time, during rides in the car, or when it was time for one of her walks, Sunshine would start hacking and squawking like a wild goose. Sylvia figured a doggy checkup would be a good idea. What she found out was disturbing. "Your dog has a collapsed windpipe," the veterinarian said. "That's what's causing her to wheeze and cough. It almost always happens in toy breeds or terriers and Pomeranians. The disease usually becomes problematic in middle age, but can happen at any age." "Why would she have this?" Sylvia asked. "Is there anything we can do? I mean, is there any medicine I can give her?" "In your dog's case, we don't know what's caused it, and there's really nothing we can do," the veterinarian said. "It's not life-threatening, but do try to keep her from getting excited. When her windpipe collapses, she's gasping for air, and that's not good for her." A few weeks later, during a follow-up examination, the veterinarian diagnosed additional ailments. Sunshine had a heart condition. Fluid was gathering around her heart. The vet instructed Sylvia to keep Sunshine's walks to a minimum and to carry her whenever they had to go up a flight of stairs. Sunshine also had cataracts, which accounted for the dreamy look in her eyes. In addition, she had tumors in her ovaries, and she was suffering from significant hearing loss. The vet couldn't determine Sunshine's exact age, but he figured her to be an older dog, somewhere between 10 and 12 years old. Sylvia left the vet's office shaken. In one hand, she had a bottle of pills to drain the fluid from around the dog's heart, and in the other hand, she had two reminder cards for the surgeries Sunshine would have in a few weeks to remove the cataracts and her ovaries. Sunshine licked Sylvia's hand as she lifted the dog into the back seat of the car. "I love you so much, Sunshine," Sylvia said, trying to fight back tears. We're going to get through this together, I promise. Sunshine was a trooper. She was brave during both her surgeries and patient whenever my sister would slip the pills for her heart condition down her throat. Sunshine would always lick Sylvia's hand after she swallowed her pills as if to thank my sister for all the tender care she was giving her. And whenever Sylvia would leave the apartment without her, Sunshine would sit and hold vigil at the front door for more than 20 minutes to see if Sylvia would return. Then, looking dejected, she would slowly walk away with her head bowed, ears flapping, and climb onto Sylvia's bed and lie down with her hind legs stretched out behind her. Sylvia discovered that she and Sunshine had similar interests. They loved watching soap operas together. The dog would curl up on the pillow next to Sylvia and seem to focus on the screen, as if she knew what was going on. The two of them would take leisurely walks at a local botanical garden. Often, Sylvia would dress Sunshine in a black and white tuxedo sweater with a red bow tie pattern on the front. Sunshine took pride in her personal appearance and would trot through the park, more lively than usual, with her head cocked back slightly in a self-assured manner. When the weather was warm, Sunshine enjoyed lying in the sun on the apartment balcony. Sylvia would take the opportunity to give Sunshine back and shoulder rubs until the dog drifted off to sleep. But even more special to the two of them were the trips they took home to see our mom and dad. Typically, as Sylvia drove, Sunshine would stand on my lap on her hind legs, rest her front paws on the inside passenger door, and watch the cars and trucks zip past. And one of the most memorable trips was the one we took home for Christmas. As I watched Sylvia scoop Sunshine up into her arms and wipe the cookie crumbs from her muzzle, I couldn't help but think of how far they'd come together. Sunshine, the dog that only a few years earlier was physically broken, without a home, without a shelter, and without someone to care for. And my sister, the college freshman, living by herself away from home for the first time. They had found each other to love. Our next story is The Christmas Tree and the Dog, a Christmas short story by R.L. Williams, posted on ChristmasShortStory.com. Only 8 trees left, Andy thought as he looked at the almost barren Christmas tree lot. Hey, boss, only a few hours left to go today, Joey said to Andy. A few potential customers were still browsing the lot as darkness set in. A young couple who had narrowed their tree search down to 2 possibilities finally decided on one of the trees. Thank you and Merry Christmas, Andy said as he smiled and loaded the Christmas tree into the back of their pickup truck. 7 trees to go, he yelled to Joey. With some customers still on the lot, the chances of a sellout look good on this day before Christmas Eve. 2 families had arrived at the lot together, looking for trees. Both made their decision, and now it was down to 5 trees left. A middle-aged couple with a small child entered the lot and looked around at the remaining trees. I remember them, Joey told Andy as he noticed the couple and little girl. Yes, Andy replied. They come by every year and look around. They haven't bought a tree in several years, though. Joey approached them. Hello, and welcome to our Christmas tree sale, Joey stated. Not a lot of trees left, but they are all nice trees. We're just looking, the woman said. Mommy, I like this one, the little girl said, pointing to a tall but skinny tree. That's a nice Christmas tree, Abby, the woman replied. We can make you a really good deal on it since it looks like this will be the last night we will be here this year, Joey offered. No, that's okay, the father replied. Another older man had entered the lot and stood next to them, looking at a couple of the trees. Mommy, could we get a tree this year? Abby asked. No, dear, maybe next year, mother replied. You always say next year, Abby replied. Now, Abby, the father said, be thankful for what you have. Okay, Abby answered in a shallow, disappointed tone. Another couple selected a tree and paid Joey for it. Abby noticed Joey loading the tree into the other couple's van and had a frown on her face. Within a few minutes, 2 more trees were sold. Wow, only 2 trees left, Joey observed as it was nearing 8 o'clock and getting colder. Andy approached the other man on the lot, looking at the 2 remaining trees. Welcome back, Andy said, recognizing the man from last year. Tony, isn't it? Hello, yes, I'm Tony, the man replied. I need to get a tree for the retirement home. Pick out the tree you want, and we will make you a super deal, Andy smiled. I want to wait until that couple picks out their tree, Tony said, looking at Abby and her mother and father. I don't want to take the one the little girl wants. Oh, they're not buying a tree. They come by every year just to look, Andy continued. Must be some sort of Christmas tradition with them. After a few minutes, the couple and little girl left and walked down the street. Joey came back over to Andy and the other man who were talking about the Christmas Eve tree decorating tradition at their retirement home. That's really sad, Joey said. I talked to that couple with the little girl and they told me they have not been able to afford a Christmas tree for several years. Some expensive family medical problems. They live two streets over in the old Smith house, Joey continued. They also lost the little girl's dog to cancer a couple months ago. So sad. Doesn't look like it will be a good Christmas for them, Andy sighed. After a few moments of silence and staring at the two remaining Christmas trees, Andy and Tony looked at each other as if a light had gone off. I have an idea, both Andy and Tony spoke up at the same time. I am buying both trees, Tony said. One tree is going to the retirement home, and the other tree is going to that couple and the little girl. I'm not going to charge you for the trees, Andy offered. Nope, I am going to pay you for the trees, I insist, Tony countered. You work hard out here every year, but you can help me deliver it. Okay, answered Andy. Joey, want to help? Of course, Joey replied. One condition, Tony asked. We will tell them you are giving it to them. Deal, Andy said. I have one stop to make before we take the tree over there. I will be back in 45 minutes, Tony said as he gave Andy payment for the two trees. Andy and Joey got the trees ready for loading and then began to close up the lot for the year. Not quite an hour later, Tony returned in his red truck with reindeer ears above the side windows. Andy and Joey loaded the two trees into the back of the truck. Joey heard an unexpected sound. Ruff, 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 came from something in the back seat. Ah, Joey remarked as he glanced in the back seat and saw a pet carrier crate with a cute face staring at him. A little doggy. I have a friend who works at the animal shelter, Tony said. I called her up and she came down and opened up the shelter and we found this nice dog that would be perfect for the little girl if her parents are okay with it. Looks like you have been shopping, too, Andy noticed, looking at the large bag of dog-related items in a pet store bag. The three of them and the little dog headed off to the house where Joey said the couple and little girl lived. After a short drive, they arrived at the correct street. That's it, that's the house, Joey said. They parked in front of the house and walked up to the front door. Ding dong, the doorbell rang out. The door opened and the father of the little girl they had seen earlier at the tree lot stood before them. Hi, I'm Andy from the Christmas tree lot you visited earlier tonight, he said. Yes, I remember you, the father replied. What can I do for you? Well, I have a problem, and I was wondering if you could help me with it, Andy explained. It's like this, Andy began. We have the last two Christmas trees from the tree lot in the trunk. We're taking one tree to the retirement home for their Christmas Eve decorating party, and that leaves one tree without a home for the holidays. You see, Tony added, Andy thinks of his trees as his children, and he needs to find a good holiday home for it. And we were hoping you could help us out. Abby, come here, the father spoke out. Here I am, Abby responded, arriving at the door. These men from the Christmas tree lot were wondering if we could take care of one of their trees for the holidays, the father explained. Wow, Abby said excitedly, sporting a big smile. Yes, please. Can we take it? I think we can handle that, the father said. We will have to get the tree decorations and lights out of the closet. Those boxes have not been opened in quite a while. Great, Andy replied. We have two trees in the trunk, and how about you pick out which one you like, Andy said, kneeling down in front of Abby. Okay, Abby replied enthusiastically. All of them headed out to the truck so Abby could pick one of the trees. Joey, take the trees out of the truck and stand them up so Abby can see them, Andy said. Already on it, Joey replied. Abby excitedly decided on a tree and Joey took it into the house with Abby in tow. I have one other problem, Tony explained to the mother and father. I have this small dog that I got from the animal shelter that needs a home. It has all vet bills covered for the next year, and also all the dog food and treats from the pet store are covered for the next year. I would hate for that to go to waste. Is there any way that you or Abby could help us with a home for this dog? Tony took the dog out of the crate and showed the dog to them. Oh, it's so cute, the mother said. Seems like a nice doggy, the father added. Abby's mother and father talked it over for about a minute. Yes, we would be happy to give the little guy a home, the father said. Okay, her mother said, tearing up a bit. Abby lost her dog earlier this year, and there was no way we could get another one and afford the expenses of a dog right now. Well, as I said, all the vet bills and dog food and treat costs are covered for a year at least. It's part of the... Tony paused for a minute. It's part of the Christmas pet program. Abby is going to be so surprised and happy, the mother smiled. First a Christmas tree and now a dog. Tony put the dog back in its crate and got the bag from the pet store. Abby's mother and father took the crate and bag of pet supplies to the front porch. Ruff, ruff, ruff! The small, crated dog began to make his presence known. Abby came out the front door and noticed where the barking was coming from. Whose doggy is this? Abby asked. He's yours if you want him, Abby's father replied. Really, mine? Yes, I want him, Abby exclaimed. Everyone went inside the house and the front door closed. Abby opened the door to the crate and the dog quickly came out and ran around and then came back to Abby giving her puppy kisses. I think it's a match, Tony observed. Hey, you need to give him a name, Tony suggested to Abby. How about, Abby thought for a moment. I know, I'll call him Happy, because that's the way he makes me feel. That sounds like a great name, Tony agreed. The father found their Christmas tree stand and Joey helped straighten and secure the tree. Andy and Tony watched as Abby took turns marveling at the undecorated Christmas tree and playing with her new friend Happy. I do believe we have Christmas cheer here, Andy smiled. Well, we have to be going, Tony said, as he approached the mother and father. We have one more stop to make. We're taking the other tree to the retirement home tonight. While Abby was playing with Happy, everyone else headed to the front door. Thank you so much for the Christmas tree and for the dog, Abby's father said graciously. It wasn't going to be much of a Christmas for Abby this year, but now it will be the best Christmas in quite a while, Abby's mother said. Abby came over with Happy, following close behind. Are you Santa? Abby asked Tony. No, Tony replied with a smile, but in a way you are like Santa because you will be giving Happy a nice home, and I'm sure it will now be a great Christmas for him. Abby beamed with a big grin. Oh, I almost forgot, Tony remembered, handing Abby's mother an envelope. Here is the special card and certificate for the vet costs and pet food for a year from the pet store. Wait, we almost forgot this too, Andy said, handing the couple a green envelope. This is to be used for any other expenses the dog may have, or for anything else. Part of the Christmas pet program, Tony interrupted. That's right, Andy confirmed, the Christmas pet program. Thank you so much, Abby's mother said. No, thank you for helping us out, Tony replied. Andy, Joey, and Tony walked away down the sidewalk. Tony turned to Andy. That green envelope you gave them had the money I paid you for the two trees, didn't it? Tony asked. Andy smiled. The Christmas pet program? I never heard of that before, Andy asked. Dog and food and treats and vet costs covered for a year? When did that program start? Tony smiled and replied, tonight. Okay, Santa, Andy laughed. Next stop, the retirement home. And finally, a visit from St. Nicholas, better known as 'Twas the Night Before Christmas by C.C. Moore. This is a slightly different version by yours truly, Mary DeFranco. C.C. Moore makes mention of reindeer, eagles, and a mouse in his poem. Listen for more pets in this version. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a gerbil, hamster, or mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled, all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. The kiddies were snuggled, all bunched up together, on top of each other, keeping warm from the weather. and Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. The dog was asleep at the end of the bed, and he woke with a start and lifted his head. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment he must be Saint Nick. The neighborhood tomcats were simply in awe, but they couldn't quite figure out just what they saw. More rapid than eagles, his coursers, they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed in faux fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his sack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of his pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. There were toys for the children, the dogs, birds, and cats, like jingle balls, chew toys, and fun stuff like that. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying a finger aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. I wondered if something had tickled his nose. It might have been allergies to the dog, I suppose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." And that will do it for this week. Happy Christmas to all of you. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment.